You're insane and arrogant, by the way. I just want to come to work, go home, and maybe not eat alone once in a while with whomever the hell I want to, without drama or whining or contests. The whole of Squad 5 was staring into my office. I gritted my teeth. Unless you have an update for me, Agent Maddox, please allow me to continue my current task.
Have a good day, Agent Lindy.
Thank you, I said in a huff. Before he closed the door, he poked his head back in.
I was just getting used to you calling me Thomas.
Get out of my office, Thomas. He shut the door and my cheeks burned bright as an uncontrollable smile spread across my face. Miniature rivers rushed down each side of the street, a city's worth of dirt and debris escaping down the large square drains at each intersection.
Tires sloshed in high-pitched tones as they careened down the wet asphalt, and I stood in front of the striped awning and large glass windows that featured Brooklyn Girl in vintage font. I couldn't stop smiling about the fact that I wasn't saddled with a heavy coat. The low clouds overhead were backlit by the moon, and the sky had spit and poured on San Diego off and on all day, yet there I stood in a sleeveless white blouse, a coral linen blazer, and skinny jeans with sandals. I'd wanted to wear my suede slingback heels, but I hadn't wanted to chance getting them wet.
Hey, Sawyer said into my ear.
I turned and smiled, elbowing him.
I got us a table, Thomas said, breezing past us and opening the door.
Three, right?
Sawyer looked like he'd swallowed his tongue.
Thomas's eyebrows lifted.
Well, let's eat. I'm starved.
Sawyer and I traded glances, and I walked in first, followed by Sawyer.
Thomas shoved his hands into his pockets as he stood at the hostess's podium.
Thomas Maddox, the young woman said, a sparkle in her eye. It's been a long time.
Hi, Cassie. Table for three, please.
Right this way, Cassie smiled, taking three menus and leading us to a corner booth.
Sawyer sat first, near the wall, and I sat in the chair next to him, leaving Thomas to sit across from us. Both men looked happy with the arrangement at first, but Thomas's eyebrows pulled together when Sawyer scooted his chair a bit closer to mine. I suspiciously eyed him.
I thought this was your favorite restaurant.
It is, Thomas said.
She said you haven't been in here in a long time.
Nope.
Why?
I asked. Didn't you used to bring your girl here? Sawyer asked.
Thomas lowered his chin and glowered at Sawyer, but when Thomas's eyes met mine, his features softened. He looked down, situating his silverware and napkin.
The last time I came here was with her.
Oh, I said, my mouth suddenly dry.
A young waitress approached our table with a smile.
Hi, guys.
Sawyer looked up at her with a familiar gleam in his eye.
Someone's got a date after work. I'm jealous.
Tessa blushed.
New lipstick.
I knew it was something.
Sawyer's eyes lingered on her a bit longer before he looked down at the menu. Thomas rolled his eyes, ordered a bottle of wine without looking at the list, and then she was gone again.
So, Sawyer said, turning his entire body toward me. Did you figure out the painting?
No, I said with a quiet laugh, shaking my head. I don't know why it's so heavy. It's still propped against the wall where I want to hang it.
So weird there's not a stud anywhere along that wall, Sawyer said, desperately trying not to seem nervous.
Thomas shifted in his seat.
I have anchors. How heavy is it?
Too heavy for the drywall, but I think an anchor would work, I said.
Thomas shrugged, looking far more comfortable with the situation than Sawyer or me.
I'll bring one down later.
From my peripheral, I saw the smallest movement in Sawyer's jaw.
Thomas had just secured time alone with me later.
I wasn't sure if other women enjoyed being in this position, but I was borderline miserable.
Tessa returned with a bottle and three glasses.
As she poured, Sawyer winked at her.
Thanks, sweetheart.
You're welcome, Sawyer.
She could barely contain her glee as she teetered on the heels of her feet.
Have you decided on an appetizer?
The roasted stuffed marrow, Thomas said, making a point not to take his eyes off of me.
The intensity of his stare made me squirm, but I didn't look away. On the outside, at least, I wanted to seem impervious.
I'll just have the hummus, Sawyer said, looking disgusted at Thomas's choice. Tessa turned on her heels, and Sawyer watched her walk all the way back to the kitchen.
Excuse me, Sawyer said, motioning that he needed out of the booth.
Oh. I scooted over and stood, letting him get out. He walked by me with a smile and then toward what I assumed was the restroom, past the gray walls and modern rustic wall art. Thomas smiled as I returned to my seat. The air conditioner kicked on and I pulled my blazer tighter around me.
Would you like my jacket? Thomas said, offering his blazer.
It perfectly matched the walls. He also wore jeans and laced brown leather Timberland boots. I shook my head. I'm not that cold.
You just don't want to be wearing my jacket when Sawyer comes out of the restroom. But he won't notice because he'll be chatting it up with Tessa.
What Sawyer thinks or feels doesn't concern me.
Then why are you here with him?
His tone wasn't accusatory. In fact, it was so unlike his usual demanding loud voice that his words nearly blended into the hum of the AC. I'm not sitting across from him. At the moment, I'm here with you. The corners of his mouth turned up. He seemed to like that, and I inwardly cursed myself for the way that made me feel. I like this place, I said, glancing around. It sort of reminds me of you.
I used to love this place, Thomas said.
But not anymore? Because of her?
My last memory of this place is also my last memory of her. I don't count the airport.
So she left you?
Yes. I thought we were going to talk about your ex, not mine.
Did she leave you for your brother? I asked, ignoring him. His Adam's apple bobbed as he swallowed, and he glanced toward the restrooms looking for Sawyer. As predicted, Sawyer was standing at the end of the counter near the drink station, making Tessa giggle.
Yeah, Thomas said.
He puffed, like something had knocked the breath out of him.
But she wasn't mine to begin with. Camille has always belonged to Trent.
I shook my head and furrowed my brow. Why do that to yourself?
It's hard to explain. Trent has loved her since we were kids. I knew it.
His confession surprised me. From what I knew of his childhood and his feelings toward his brothers, it was hard to imagine Thomas pulling something so heartless. But you pursued her anyway. I just don't understand why. His shoulders moved up just a tiny bit.
I love her, too.
Present tense. A tinge of jealousy twinged in my chest.
I didn't mean to, Thomas said. I used to go home quite a bit, mostly to see her. She works at the local bar. One night, I went straight to the Red and sat down in front of her station, and then it just hit me. She wasn't a little girl in pigtails anymore. She was all grown up, and smiling at me. Trent talked about Camille all the time, but in a way, to me at least, I never thought he'd go for it. For the longest time, I thought he'd never settle down. Then he started seeing this other girl, Mackenzie. That's when I decided he was past his crush on Camille. But pretty quickly after that, there was an accident, and Mackenzie died.
I sucked in a tiny, sharp breath. Thomas acknowledged my shock with a nod and continued.
Trent wasn't the same after that. He drank a lot, slept with whomever, and left school. One weekend, I came home to check on him and Dad, and then I went to the bar. She was there.
He winced.
I tried not to.
But you did.
I reasoned that he didn't deserve her. It's the second most selfish thing I've ever done. And both of them were to my brothers.
But Trent and Camille ended up together?
I work a lot. She's there, he's there. It was bound to happen once Trent decided to chase her. I couldn't really protest. He loved her first.
The sad look in his eyes made my chest ache. Does she know what you do?
Yes.
I arched an eyebrow. You told her who you work for, but not your family.
Thomas thought about my words and shifted in his seat. She won't tell them. She promised she wouldn't.
So she's lying to all of them?
She's omitting.
To Trent as well?
He knows we were seeing each other. He thinks we were keeping it a secret from him because of the way he felt about Camille. He still doesn't know about the Bureau.
Do you trust her not to tell him?
Yes,
he said, without hesitation. I asked her to keep quiet about the fact that we were dating. For months, no one knew but her roommate and a few of her co-workers.
It's true, isn't it? You didn't want your brother to know you had stolen her, I said, smug.
His face twisted, disgusted at my lack of finesse. In part. I also didn't want Dad poking her for information. She would have had to lie. It would have just made things more difficult than they already were.
She had to lie anyway.
I know. It was stupid. I acted on a temporary feeling and it turned into something more. I put everyone in a bad position. I was a selfish dick. But I do, love her. Trust me, I'm getting payback.
She's going to be at the wedding, isn't she?
Yeah, he said, twisting his napkin.
With Trent?
They're still together. They live together.
Oh, I said, surprised. And that has nothing to do with why you want me to go?
Polanski wants you to go.
You don't?
Not because I'm trying to make Camille jealous, if that's what you're getting at. They love each other. She's in my past.
Is she? I asked, before I could stop myself.
I braced for his reply. He looked at me for a long time. Why?
I swallowed. That is the real question, isn't it? Why do I want to know? I cleared my throat, chuckling nervously. I don't know why, I just want to know.
He breathed a laugh and looked down. You can love someone without wanting to be with them. Just like you can want to be with someone before you love them.
He looked up at me, a spark in his eye. From my peripheral, I saw that Sawyer was standing next to our table, waiting with Tessa, who had a tray in her hand. Thomas didn't look away from me, and I couldn't look away from him.
Excuse me, Sawyer said.
I blinked a few times and looked up. Oh, yes, sorry. I stood to let him by, and then I returned to my seat, trying not to shrink under Thomas's unfaltering stare. Tessa placed the appetizers on the table along with three small plates. She filled Thomas's half-empty glass, the dark Merlot splashing inside, but I put my hand over mine before she could pour. Sawyer lifted his glass to his lips, and an awkward silence hung over the table while the rest of the restaurant hummed with a steady chatter, broken up only by intermittent laughter.
"Did you tell her about Camille?" Sawyer asked.
The hairs on the back of my neck stood on end, and my mouth suddenly felt parched. I gulped the last of the red liquid in my glass. Thomas bared his teeth and squinted his eyes, looking regretful.
"Did you tell Tessa about that rash?"
Sawyer nearly choked on his wine. Tessa tried to think of something to say, but failed, and after a few bounces, she retreated to the kitchen.
"Why? Why are you such an asshole?" Sawyer said.
Thomas chuckled, and I fought a smile, but lost, giggling into my water glass. Sawyer began to laugh, too, and he shook his head before slathering his slice of pita with hummus.
"Well played, Maddox. Well played."
Thomas looked up at me from under his brow.
"How are you getting home, Lise?"
"You're driving me." He nodded once.
"I didn't want to assume, but I'm glad you agree."
Chapter 10 "Thank you," I said quietly. I tried not to look at the sliver of beautifully tanned skin between Thomas's belt and the bottom hem of his white t-shirt. He was hanging the painting, one of the first things I'd purchased after training. It was a canvas print, wrapped around wood, and it was too heavy to be wall decor.
"It's creepy as hell,"
Thomas said, stepping off my dining room chair onto the carpet. "It's a Yamamoto Takato. He's my favorite Japanese modern artist."
"Who are they?"
Thomas asked, referring to the two sisters on the painting. They were resting outside at night. One sister was looking on, quietly enjoying whatever mischief was happening before them. The other was looking back at Thomas and me, sullen and bored.
"Spectators. Listeners. Like us."
He looked unimpressed.
"They're weird."
I crossed my arms and smiled, happy that they were finally in their place.
"He's brilliant. You should see the rest of his work. They're tame, in comparison." His expression told me he didn't approve of this new piece of information. I lifted my chin. I like them. Thomas took in a breath, shook his head, and sighed.
Whatever frosts your cookies. I guess I'll, head out.
Thanks for taking me home. Thanks for the anchor. Thanks for hanging the girls.
The girls?
I shrugged. They don't have names.
Because they're not real.
They're real to me. Thomas picked up the chair and returned it to the table, but he gripped the top, leaning over a bit.
Speaking of things that aren't real, I've been trying to think of a way to talk to you about certain aspects of the trip.
Which ones? He stood up and walked toward me, leaning down just inches from my face, slightly turning his head. I pulled away. What are you doing? He backed off, satisfied.
Seeing what you would do. I was right to bring this up now. If I don't show affection, they'll know something is up. You can't pull away from me like that.
I won't.
Really? That wasn't a knee-jerk reaction just then?
Yes, but I've let you kiss me before.
When you were drunk, Thomas said with a smirk.
He walked to the middle of the room and sat on my couch like he owned the place.
That doesn't count.
I followed him, watched him for a moment, and then sat on his right, leaving not even air between us. I nuzzled my cheek against his chest and slid my hand across his rigid abdomen before digging my fingers into his left side, just enough so that my arm stayed in place. My entire body relaxed, and I crossed my right leg over my left, letting my calf overlap his knee so that every part of me was at least a little bit draped over him. I cuddled up against him with a smile, because Thomas Maddox, the astute, always-in-control special agent, was as still as a statue, his heart thundering in his chest. "I'm not the one who needs practice," I said with a grin. I closed my eyes. I felt his muscles ease, and he wrapped his arms around my shoulders, letting his chin rest on top of my head. He let all the air escape from his lungs, and it seemed like a long time before he took another breath. We stayed that way, without anywhere to be, listening to the quietness of my condo and the noise from the street. Tires still sloshed against the wet asphalt, horns honked, doors from cars slammed. Once in a while a person would shout, car brakes would whine, and a dog would bark. Inside, sitting with Thomas, on the very couch we'd christened the night we met, felt like an alternate universe.
"This is nice," he said, finally.
"Nice?" I was mildly offended. I thought it felt amazing. No one had held me that way since Jackson in Chicago, and even then, it hadn't felt like this. I didn't think that I would miss someone touching me, especially when I hadn't appreciated Jackson's affection before. But being without it for less than a month had made me feel lonely and maybe even a little depressed. That was typical for anyone, I imagined, but I was sure that the sadness wouldn't have come so strong and so soon had I not experienced Thomas's hands on me during my first night in San Diego. I'd had to miss them every day after that.
"You know what I mean," he said.
"No. Why don't you tell me?" His lips pressed against my hair and he inhaled, deep and peaceful.
"I don't want to. I just want to enjoy it."
"Fair enough." I opened my eyes, alone, and lying on my couch. I was still fully dressed, covered with the wool throw that had been folded on the chair. I sat up, rubbed my eyes, and then paused. "Thomas?" I called. I felt ridiculous. It was worse than the morning after our one-night stand. My watch read 3 a.m., and then I heard a bump upstairs. I looked up with a smile. It was nice knowing that he was so close. But then I heard something else. Something that made my stomach turn. A groan. A moan. A yelp. Oh, God.
A rhythm of bumping against a wall along with moans began to filter down to my condo, and I looked around, not knowing what to think. Did he leave here and go to Cutter's? Meet a girl? Take her home? But Thomas wouldn't do that. I'd been the only one since... Maybe I'd gotten him out of his slump. Oh, God. Oh, God, a woman's muffled cry repeated my thought aloud, filling my condo. No, this has to stop. I stood up and began to search for something long to bang against the ceiling. His embarrassment didn't matter in the least. I didn't even care if I was that neighbor, the spinster downstairs who didn't like hearing music, loud laughter, or sex. I just needed that woman's abnormally loud orgasm to stop. I climbed onto the dining room chair, the same one Thomas had used earlier, with a broom in hand. Just before I started banging the handle against the ceiling, someone knocked on the door. What in the hell? I opened it, fully aware that either I looked absolutely insane or the person on the other side of the door would be the crazy one and I would have to use the broom on some psycho. Thomas was standing in the doorway with dark circles under his eyes, looking exhausted.
Can I stay here?
What?
Why are you holding a broom? He asked. It's after 3 in the morning. Are you cleaning?
I narrowed my eyes. Don't you have company? He looked around, seeming confused by my question, and then shifted his weight from one leg to the other.
Yes.
Shouldn't you be at your place, then?
I'm not getting much sleep up there.
Clearly. I tried to slam the door, but he caught it and followed me inside.
What is wrong with you? He asked. Then he pointed to the stray dining room chair. What's up with the chair?
I was going to climb up on it and use this, I said, holding out the broom.
For what?
His nose wrinkled. On the ceiling. To make it stop. To make her stop. Recognition lit his eyes and he was instantly embarrassed.
You can hear that.
I rolled my eyes. Yes, the whole building can hear it. He rubbed the back of his neck.
I'm sorry, Lise.
Don't apologize, I seethed. It's not real.
Huh?
Please don't apologize. It just makes me feel more pathetic.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I sighed. Just go.
I was going to ask if I could stay here tonight, but I guess if you can hear her.
I tossed the broom at him, but he hopped over it.
What the hell, Lise?
No, you can't stay here. Go back upstairs to your one-night stand. Seems like you've become a pro. His eyes grew wide and he held up his hands.
Oh, whoa, no, that's not me, up there, with her.
What? I closed my eyes, completely confused.
I'm not with her.
I glared at him. Obviously, you just met her. His hands were moving back and forth in a horizontal motion.
No, I'm not up there, fucking her.
I know. I emphasized each word. I might as well have been talking to a wall.
No, he yelled in frustration.
The banging began again, and we both looked up. The woman began to yelp, and a low moan filtered through the ceiling. A man's voice. Thomas covered his face.
Jesus Christ.
Someone has a woman in your condo?
My brother, he groaned.
Which one?
Taylor. He's staying here for a few days. He texted me wondering why I wasn't at home. I left here to meet him upstairs, but when I got there, he was pissed about something and didn't want to sit at the condo. So I took him over to Cutter's. Agent Davies was there, and...
I pointed to the ceiling. That's Agent Davies? Thomas nodded his head. Oh, thank God, I said, covering my eyes with my hand. He frowned.
Huh?
Nothing. Davies cried out. I shook my head and pointed to the door. You've got to tell him to quit that shit. I have to get some sleep. Thomas nodded again.
Yeah, I'll go.
He turned for the door, but then he stopped, flipped around, and pointed at me.
You thought that was me. You were pissed.
I made a face. No, I wasn't.
Yeah, you were. Admit it.
So what if I was?
Why were you mad? He asked,
his eyes begging me for something. Because it's 3 a.m. and I should be sleeping?
Bullshit.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I knew exactly what he meant, and he knew that I was trying to play dumb. He smiled.
You thought that was me banging some chick from the bar, and you were mad at me. You were jealous.
After several seconds of being unable to come back with a believable response, I blurted out, So? Thomas raised his chin and then reached behind him to grip the doorknob.
Good night, Lise.
I maintained the dirtiest look I could until he shut the door, and then I walked over to the broom, scooped it up, and pushed the chair back to the table. After a minute or so, the yelping and banging stopped. I trudged to my room, stripped off my clothes, and slipped on a t-shirt before falling into the bed. Not only did I not hate Thomas, I liked him. Worse than that, he knew it. Chapter 11. I flipped my wrist over to check my watch, cursing myself for sleeping in. After poking a pair of fake diamond studs into the holes in my ears, I slipped on my heels, grabbed my purse, and opened the door. Thomas stood there, with a styrofoam cup in each hand. Coffee? I pulled the door closed and twisted the key in the lock. Is there milk in that coffee? I asked.
Nope. 6 sugars and 2 creamers.
How do you know how I take my coffee? I asked, taking the cup he'd pushed toward me. We walked together toward the elevator, and Thomas pressed the button.
Constance.
Constance knows you brought me coffee?
Constance told me to buy you coffee.
The doors opened and we stepped inside. I turned to him, confused.
She's up early, I grumbled.
Why would Constance tell you to do this? He shrugged.
She thought you might like it if I did.
I turned to face forward. He was answering me without answering me, my very least favorite thing. I was going to have to ask Val to teach me her human lie detector trick.
No more questions? Thomas asked.
No.
No?
You won't give me a real answer anyway.
Constance knows I like you. She says I've been different since you've been here. And she's right.
Thomas, I said, turning to him. I appreciate that, but I'm
emotionally unavailable, I know. But you're also just coming out of a relationship. I'm not asking you to move in with me.
What are you asking?
Let me take you to work.
That's not a question.
Okay. Can we have dinner alone?
I turned to him as the elevator opened. Are you asking me on a date, Maddox? I walked into the lobby, my heels clicking against the floor. After a few seconds of hesitation, he nodded once.
Yes.
I don't have time for anything messy. I'm committed to the job.
As am I.
I like to work late hours.
As do I.
I don't like to report to anyone.
Nor do I.
Then yes.
Yes, I can take you to work. Or yes, we can have dinner.
Yes to both. He smiled, triumphant, and then he used his back to push open the lobby doors, keeping me in view.
My vehicle's this way.
During the drive to work, Thomas explained his evening with Taylor, what time Agent Davies had left his condo, and how inconvenient it was to have a drop-in guest even if it was his brother. The freeway was still damp from the rain the day before. He weaved his Land Rover in and out of traffic, and although I was used to driving in Chicago, San Diego was totally different, and I wasn't sure if I would be prepared once I found a vehicle.
You look nervous, Thomas said.
I hate the freeway, I grumbled.
You'll hate it more when you drive it. When does your car get here? You're going on 3 weeks without it.
It's not coming. My parents are selling it for me. I'm going to look for a new one when I have some time, but for now, public transportation works. Thomas made a face.
That's ridiculous. You can just ride with me.
It's really fine, I said.
Just meet me out front in the mornings. We leave at the same time anyway, and we're going to the same place. Plus, you're doing me a favor. I can drive in the carpool lane.
Okay, I said, looking out the window. If you don't mind.
I don't mind.
I glanced over at him. His transformation from angry, volatile boss to gentle, content neighbor, possibly more, had been gradual, so I hadn't noticed until we were side by side, the morning sun highlighting the calm in his eyes. We rode the rest of the way to the bureau in comfortable silence. The next time Thomas spoke was to the guard at the security gate.
Agent Maddox,
Agent Trevino said, taking our badges. He leaned down to identify me and smirked.
Hi, Meg,
Thomas said.
How's the family? All fine. Nice of you to drive Agent Lindy to work this morning.
Thomas took back his badge.
We live in the same building.
Mm-hmm, Trevino said, sitting back before pressing the button to open the gate. Thomas drove through and chuckled. What's so funny?
Trevino,
Thomas said, resting his elbow on the bottom of the window and touching his lips with his fingers. I frowned. Anytime anything came into contact with his lips, a mixture of depression and jealousy swirled inside me. It was an awful feeling, and I wondered when it would stop. Am I a running joke? Thomas looked over at me and switched his driving hand. Then my hand was in his, and he squeezed.
No. Why would you think that?
What is so amusing? Thomas pulled into the parking garage and put the gear into park. He turned back the key and the engine silenced.
Me. He's laughing at me. I don't bring people to work. I don't smile when I check in, and I damn sure don't ask him about his family. He knows. Things have been different since you came here.
Why is that? I stared at him, my eyes begging him to say the words. Admittedly, I was too proud and stubborn to break my vow to the bureau without insurance. Coffee, odd jobs around my condo, even his hand in mine weren't enough. I was okay with being second to his job. When we were both committed to the bureau, it somehow canceled the other out. But I wouldn't come in third. His cell phone rang, and when he noticed the name on the display, his entire demeanor changed. His eyebrows pulled in, and he sighed.
Hey,
Thomas said, his face tight. He let go of my hand and looked away.
I told you I would.
He rubbed his eyes with his thumb and index finger.
I can't. My flight doesn't land until an hour prior to Trav's arrival at the hotel. Okay. Tell me what?
Thomas looked down and his shoulders sagged.
You are? That's great, he said,
failing to cover the devastation in his voice.
No, I understand. No, Trent, I get it. It's okay. Yeah, I'm happy for you. I am. Okay. All right. See you then.
Thomas pressed end and then let the phone fall to his lap. He held the steering wheel with both hands, his grip twisting so hard that his knuckles turned white. Want to talk about it? He shook his head. Okay, well, I'll be in my office if you change your mind. Just as I reached for the lever, Thomas grabbed me by the arm and pulled me to him, his amazingly soft lips melting against mine. Everything around us blurred, and I was transported back to the night we'd met. The desperate hands, his tongue deep in my mouth, his blazingly hot, sweaty skin against mine. When he finally let me go, I grieved. Even though it had been my lips against his, when we'd parted, I was still left with that awful feeling.
Damn it, Lise. I'm sorry, he said,
looking just as shocked as I was. I was breathing slow but deep, still leaned in a bit.
I know you don't want a relationship, he said, angry with himself. But I'll be goddamned if I can't stay away from you.
I can relate, I said, smoothing my hair away from my face. Trent? I asked, nodding to his cell phone. He looked down and then back at me.
Yeah.
What did he say that upset you? Thomas hesitated, clearly not wanting to answer.
He was talking to me about Travis's bachelor party.
And?
He's the entertainment.
So? Thomas shifted nervously.
He, has a deal with Camille.
He shook his head.
A while back, she agreed to marry him if he did something crazy and embarrassing. He's going to do it at Trav's party, and then he's...
His eyes fell. He looked heartbroken.
He's going to ask Camille to marry him.
Your ex. He nodded slowly. The one you're still in love with. And then you kiss me to stop thinking about it?
Yes, he admitted. I'm sorry. It was a shit thing to do.
My first reaction was to be angry. But how could I be angry when kissing him was all I'd thought about since we met? And how could I be jealous? The woman he loved would very soon be engaged, and he'd practically just given his blessing. All of that logic did me no good. I was envious of a woman I'd never met, and who would never be with Thomas. I couldn't be mad at him, but I was furious with myself. I pulled at the lever. Squad 5 is meeting at 3.
Lise, he called after me. I walked away as fast as my heels would allow, all the way to the elevator.
The doors closed behind me and I stood in silence as the numbers climbed. People got on and off, agents, assistants, city leaders, all speaking in hushed tones, if they spoke at all. When the doors opened on the 7th floor, I stepped out and tried to hurry past Marx's office. He was always early, and Val was usually in his office, chatting. I snuck by his open door, hearing Val's voice, and quickly slipped through the security doors. I walked around the corner of the first cubicle, past another two, and then ducked into my office, closing the door. I sat in my throne and turned my back to the wall of windows, and I stared at my bookshelf and the view of the city below. I heard a knock, but ignored it, and then someone put a file in the holder on my door, leaving me alone. I let the high back of the chair conceal me from the squad room, and I twisted the long black strands of my hair around my finger, thinking about the kiss, the night before, and every time I'd been alone with Thomas since I met him. He was still in love with Camille. I didn't understand, and worse, I wasn't sure of my feelings either. I knew that I cared for him. If I were being honest, that was a gross understatement. The way my body responded to his presence was addictive and impossible to ignore. I wanted Thomas in a way that I'd never felt for Jackson. Is it worth the mess it might make at work? Is it worth the mess he could make of me? I pulled my hair out of my mouth after realizing I'd been chewing on it. I hadn't done that since I was a girl. Thomas was my neighbor and my boss. It was illogical and unreasonable to attempt to be anything more, and if I wanted to stay in control of the situation, I had to surrender to that fact. My door swung open.
Lise?
It was Thomas. I slowly turned around and sat up straight. The anguish in his eyes was unbearable. He was being pulled in two directions, just like I was. It's okay, I said. You're not the one I'm mad at. He shut the door and walked over to one of the club chairs before sitting down. He leaned down, putting his elbows on the edge of my desk.
That was totally out of line. You didn't deserve that.
You had a moment. I get it. He stared at me, rattled by my answer.
You're not a moment, Lise.
I have a set goal that I am determined to achieve. Any feelings I might have for you won't get in the way of those goals. Sometimes you make me forget, but I always come back to the original plan, a plan that doesn't include a significant other. He let my words simmer for a bit.
Is that what happened with you and Jackson? He didn't fit into your guidelines for the future?
This isn't about Jackson.
You don't talk about him much.
He sat back. Shit. I didn't want to get into this conversation with him. That's because I don't need to.
Weren't you engaged?
Not that it's any of your business, but yes. Thomas raised an eyebrow.
Nothing, huh? Didn't shed a single tear?
I don't really do that. I drink.
Like that night at Cutter's?
Exactly like that night at Cutter's. So I guess we're even. Thomas's mouth fell open, not even attempting to hide his wounded ego.
Wow. I guess so.
Thomas, you of all people should understand. You were faced with the same decision when you were with Camille. You chose the bureau, didn't you?
No,
he said, slighted.
I tried to hang on to both.
I sat back and clasped my hands together. And how did that work out for you?
I don't like this side of you.
That's unfortunate. From now on, this is the only side you're going to get. I stared him straight in the eyes, unwavering. Thomas began to speak, but someone knocked on the door and pushed it open. Agent Lindy? A smooth but high-toned voice came from the hall. Yes, I said, recognizing Constance standing in the doorway. You had a visitor downstairs. I brought him up. Before I had the chance to wonder who on earth would be visiting, Jackson Schultz walked around Constance and stood in my doorway. Oh, my God, I whispered. Jackson was in a French blue button-down shirt and patterned tie. The only times I'd seen him look so well-dressed was the night he proposed, and at Agent Gregory's funeral. The hue of his shirt set off his azure eyes. They used to be my favorite thing about him, but in that moment I could only notice that they were as round as his face. Jackson had always been fit, but his smoothly shaved head made him appear more portly than he was. The longer we had been together, the more his less appealing features and habits had grown noticeable. The way he'd suck food through his teeth after a meal, lean to the side when he passed gas, even in public, or not always wash his hands after he'd been in the restroom for half an hour. Even the three deep wrinkles where his skull met his neck made me cringe.
Who the hell are you?
Thomas asked.
Jackson Schultz, Chicago SWAT. Who the hell are you?
I stood up. Special Agent Maddox is San Diego's ASAC.
Maddox?
Jackson laughed once, unimpressed.
Yes, as in the asshole who runs this place.
Thomas looked to Constance.
We're in a meeting.
Sorry, sir, Constance said, not looking sorry at all.
She didn't fool me.
She'd told Thomas what kind of coffee to buy, and once she'd learned Jackson was in the building, she'd swiftly escorted him to my office to remind her boss that he had competition. I wasn't sure whether to strangle her or laugh, but it was clear that she cared about Thomas, and it was nice to know she thought well enough of me to push him in my direction. Agent Maddox, we were just wrapping up, weren't we? I asked. Thomas looked at me and then back to Jackson.
No. Agent Schultz can wait the fuck outside. Constance?
One corner of her mouth turned up. Yes, sir. Agent Schultz, if you'll just follow me. Jackson kept his eyes on me while he followed Constance until they were both out of sight. I narrowed my eyes at Thomas. That was unnecessary.
Why didn't you tell me he was visiting?
Thomas barked. Do you really think I knew? His shoulders relaxed.
No.
The quicker you allow him in here, the quicker he'll leave.
I don't want him here.
Stop.
What?
Thomas snapped, pretending to stare at the various photographs and post-its on my wall or the bookshelf or neither. You're being childish, I said.
He lowered his chin to glower at me. Get rid of him.
He kept his voice low. In the recent past, I might have been intimidated, but Thomas Maddox didn't scare me anymore. I wasn't sure that he ever had. You made such a big deal of me being jealous last night. You know I left him and have zero interest, and look at you.
He pointed at the door. You think I'm jealous of Mr. Clean? You're fucking joking, right?
We both know you're too fucked up in there, I pointed to my own head, to worry about my ex-fiancé or about me in general.
That's not true.
You're still in love with her, I said, too loud.
Every member of Squad 5 present in the squad room leaned forward or back in their chairs to watch through the glass wall of my office. Thomas walked over and lowered the blinds for one section, and then the other, and then he shut the door. He frowned.
What does that have to do with anything? I can't like you and still love her.
Do you? Like me?
No, I just asked you on a date because I enjoy being shot down.
You asked me to dinner right before you had a meltdown. You're not over her, Maddox.
There you go with the Maddox again.
You're not over her, I said, hating the sadness in my voice. And I have goals.
You've mentioned that.
Then we agree that it's pointless.
Fine.
Fine? I asked, embarrassed about the tinge of panic in my voice.
I'm not going to push it. If I get over Camille and you get over your thing, we'll reconvene.
I stared at him in disbelief. You weren't just saying that to Constance. We were really having a meeting.
So?
This isn't something you can outline, Thomas. You can't tell me how it's going to go down, and we're not going to reconvene about progress. That's not how it works.
It's how we work.
That's ridiculous. You're ridiculous.
Maybe, but we're the same, Lise. That's why it didn't work out with other people. I'm not going to let you run away, and you're not going to put up with my shit. We can think about whether or not it's efficient to be together until we retire, or we can just accept it now. The fact is, we plan things, we organize, we control.
I swallowed. Thomas pointed to the wall.
Before you, I was a lonely workaholic, and even though you had someone, so were you. But you and I can make this work. It makes complete sense for us to be together. When you tell Mr. Ninja out there to kick rocks, let me know, and I'll take you to dinner. Then, I'm going to kiss you again, and not because I'm distraught.
I swallowed. I tried to keep my voice from wavering as I said, Good. It's a little disconcerting to be kissed when you're distraught over another woman.
It won't happen again.
Make sure that it doesn't.
Yes, ma'am.
He opened the door, walked through, and closed it. I fell into my chair, taking deep breaths to calm myself. What the hell just happened? Chapter 12.
Hi, Jackson said from the love seat in the small waiting area down the hall.
He stood, towering over me.
You look beautiful. California looks good on you.
I tilted my head to the side, offering an appreciative grin. It's only been a few weeks. He looked down.
I know.
How are your parents?
Dad just got over a cold. Mom swore that if I brought you flowers, you'd change your mind.
I pulled my mouth to the side. Let's take a walk. Jackson followed me to the elevator. I pushed the button for the first floor and we rode in silence. When the doors slid open again, the lobby was bustling with activity. First thing in the morning, agents were either coming in or leaving to conduct interviews, to go to the courthouse, or to do the hundreds of other tasks that fell in the spectrum of our duties. Visitors were getting checked in, and a small group of junior high children were beginning a tour. We walked together toward the back side of the building, and I pushed open the double doors that led to the courtyard. Nestled between the two buildings was a beautiful sitting area with patio furniture, river rocks, patches of green fescue, and a monument for fallen agents. I'd always wanted to spend a few minutes there to gather my thoughts or just sit in the quiet, but between lunch dates with Val and fitness room time with Thomas, I hadn't really found a spare moment. Jackson sat in one of the cushioned wicker love seats. I stood in front of him, fidgeting. We didn't speak for nearly a minute, and then I finally took a breath. Why didn't you call first? I asked.
You would have told me not to come.
His voice was pitifully sad. But you came anyway, I said, squinting from the bright morning sun. When Jackson bent over and held his forehead in his hands, I was glad we were alone. I took a step back, afraid for a second that he might cry.
I haven't been handling this well, Lisi. I haven't been able to sleep or eat. I had a meltdown at work.
His nickname for me made me cringe. It wasn't his fault. I'd never told him that I hated it. Seeing him so vulnerable when he was usually in command of his emotions made me uncomfortable, and my guilt compiled it tenfold. Jackson wasn't a bad guy, but falling out of love with him had made everything he did grotesque to me, and the harder I'd tried to feel different, the more I couldn't stand him. "Jackson, I'm at work. You can't do this here." He looked up at me.
"I'm sorry. I just meant to ask you to lunch."
I sighed and sat next to him. "I hate that you're hurting. I wish I felt different, but I just don't. I gave it a year, like I promised. But maybe if I... It's nothing you did. It's not even something you didn't do. We just don't work."
"You work for me."
I put my hand on his back. "I'm sorry. I really, truly am. But what we had is over."
"You don't miss me at all?"
he asked. His body was so much larger than mine that he shaded me from the sun. I remembered seeing him at training. The other female trainees had thought he was so attractive and sweet. And he was. After all their efforts to catch Jackson Schultz, I'd managed to catch him with no effort at all. He was attracted to confidence and brilliance, he'd said, and I had both. Here he was, begging me to want him, when he could walk out of here and make a number of women swoon, women who would love him and appreciate his bad habits along with the traits that I'd fallen in love with. After some hesitation, I decided the truth wasn't pleasant, but it was necessary. I simply shook my head.
"Holy shit." He laughed once, without humor. "Did you move out here for someone? It's not my business, I understand that, but I still gotta know."
"Absolutely not." He nodded, satisfied.
"Well, my plane doesn't leave until Wednesday. I guess there are worse places to be stuck."
"Can you change your flight?" I'd known before I asked that he wouldn't. Not only was Jackson terrible at letting go, he was also completely helpless at things like changing a plane ticket, making reservations, or scheduling appointments. I was sure his mother had taken care of his travel arrangements for him to even come here. "The Top Gun bar is here. You'd really like it," I said.
"Yeah," he chuckled. "That sounds pretty great."
"I'll walk you out. I'm just sorry, Jackson."
"Yeah. Me too."
I guided him across the lawn and back into the main building.
He didn't say a single word as we walked across the lobby and to the entrance. I have to say it once, before I leave. I love you.
I kissed his cheek. "Thank you. I don't deserve that, but thank you." He smirked.
"I know you can handle that jerk-off upstairs, but if it gets old, you can always come home." I snickered.
"He's not a problem.
Goodbye, Lise."
Jackson kissed my forehead and turned, pushing through the door. I took a deep breath and suddenly felt exhausted. Trudging back into the elevator, I leaned against the back wall until the chime signaled that I was at my floor, and then I stepped out into the hallway, forcing one foot in front of the other.
"Lise," Marks called as I passed his office. "Get in here."
I stopped and turned around, surprised at the gratefulness I felt for the invitation. I slumped in his chair.
"What?"
He raised an eyebrow, momentarily halting the continuous clicking on his keyboard.
"I told you. You're trouble."
"What makes you say that?" I asked.
"Everybody can tell that he's different. He's practically happy when you're around."
"I'm missing why that makes me trouble."
"Is your ex staying with you for a few days?"
"Of course not."
"Why not?"
I sat up. "Do you make a habit of asking questions that are none of your damn business?"
"Let me guess. You transferred here to get away from him. You told Tommy you were emotionally unavailable, and now he's chasing you because you turned him down. Only this isn't a game to you. You really aren't available."
I rolled my eyes and sat back. Let's not pretend he doesn't have issues of his own.
Exactly. So why don't you both make it easier on this department and knock it the hell off?
You have your own problems. Concentrate on those instead of mine. I stood.
I saw what it did to him when Camille left the last time. It was even worse than when he came back after Trent and Cammy's car accident. Cammy chose Trent, but Tommy has never stopped loving her. I'm not trying to be a dick here, Lise, but he's my friend. I might be in your business, but Tommy was different after he'd lost Cammy, and not for the better. He's just now showing signs of the man he used to be before she broke his heart.
Tommy, I said, unimpressed.
Marks craned his neck at me. Is that all you got out of everything I just told you? This isn't a pissing match, Lise. I'm not trying to take him from you. I'm trying to save him from you.
As bitter as it tasted, I tried to swallow the shame. My struggle was clear because the anger in Marks's eyes vanished.
I can appreciate that you're committed to the job and that you're focused, he said. But if you can't find a way to love the job and him too, just don't fuck him over while you're trying to figure out if you've got a heart.
The shame was quickly replaced by anger. Eat shit, Marks, I said, before leaving his office.
I buzzed myself through the security door and marched to my office. Lindy, Agent Sawyer began. Not now, I said, before slamming the door to my office to make a point. Once again, I was in my chair with the back facing the glass wall. The blinds were closed from when Thomas had been in here before, but I still needed to feel the tall back between me and the squad room. After a small knock on the door, it opened. By the lack of greeting and the sound of someone sitting in the club chair, I knew it could only be Val.
Fuzzies today?
Not today. I definitely need to spend my lunch hour in the fitness room.
Okay.
I spun around. That's it? No interrogation?
I don't have to. I've been watching you all morning. First, you hide in here, and Maddox runs in after you. Then your ex shows up, and Maddox is up here yelling at everyone like he used to.
She waggled her eyebrows.
He's got it bad.
I looked away. I just broke Jackson's heart again. What the hell was I thinking? I knew something had happened to Thomas. Hell, you told me on day one he'd been burned.
Marks is right.
Val stiffened.
What did Marks say?
That I should stay away from Thomas. That I couldn't commit to Jackson, and it's likely that I can't commit to anyone else.
Val made a face. You're lying. He isn't that much of a brazen dick.
He is when it comes to me. And to clarify, yes, I was paraphrasing.
Then those are your fears talking. But if you like Maddox, Lise, don't let a failed relationship govern your next one. Just because you didn't love Jackson doesn't mean you can't love Maddox.
He still loves her, I said, not trying to hide the wounded tone in my voice.
Camille? She was the one who got away, Lise. He'll probably always love her.
A sick feeling came over me, and I curled my shoulders inward, feeling actual physical pain seeping all the way into my bones. We haven't known each other for that long. Why do I have such strong feelings for him?
I couldn't ask that, though. It made me too vulnerable.
Made me feel too weak. I spoke aloud the only question I could. Do you think he can love two people?
Can you love one?
She snapped back. I shook my head, touching my fingers to my lips. Val had no sympathy in her eyes.
You're really kind of bringing this on yourself. Be with him or not. But Marks is right. Don't fuck with Maddox's emotions. I realize you told him once that you're emotionally unavailable, but you're behaving differently.
Because I like him. I think I more than like him. But I don't want to.
Then be straight with him and don't give him mixed signals.
It's hard not to when that's all I've got going on here, I said, motioning to the space between my head and heart. She shook her head.
I understand that, but you're going to have to make a decision and stick with it, or you'll just look like a bitch.
I sighed. I don't have time for this. I have a job to do.
Then get your shit straight and do it.
Val stood up and left my office without another word. I sat at my desk, my hands folded,